She was only able to take possession of Susanna Dean's vocal cords for a moment, but it was a precious moment.
"That's right, darling, that's right," she cackled. "He won't come in your mouth or get it in your hair."
"Shut that bitch up," Sayre whipcracked. And Susanna felt the jolt as Mia shoved Detta head over heels, but still cackling, to the back of their shared mind again. Once more into the brig.
"Had my say, though, damn if I didn't," Detta cried. "I told that honky muffa."
Sayre's voice in the telephone's earpiece was cold and clear. "Mia, do you have control or not?"
"Yes, yes, I do."
"Then don't let that happen again."
"I won't."
And somewhere it felt like above her, although there were no real directions here at the back of the shared mind, something clanged shut. It sounded like iron. "We really are in the brig," she told Detta. But Detta just went on laughing. Susanna thought, "I'm pretty sure I know who she is anyway. Besides me, that is." This truth seemed obvious to her. The part of Mia that wasn't either Susanna or something summoned from the void world to do the Crimson King's bidding, surely the third part really was the Oracle, elemental or not. The female force that had at first tried to molest Jake and then had taken Roland instead. That sad, craving spirit. She finally had the body she needed, one capable of carrying the chap. "Odetta?" Sayre's voice, teasing and cruel. "Or Susanna, if you like that better. I promised you news, didn't I? It's kind of a good news, bad news thing, I'm afraid. Would you like to hear it?" Susanna held her silence. "The bad news is that Mia's chap may not be able to fulfill the destiny of his name by killing his father after all. The good news is that Roland will almost surely be dead in the next few minutes. As for Eddie, I'm afraid there's no question. He doesn't have either your Din's reflexes or his battle experience. My dear, you're going to be a widow very soon. That's the bad news." She could hold her silence no longer, and Mia let her speak.
"You lie about everything."
"Not at all," Sayre said calmly, and Susanna realized where she knew that name from, the end of Callahan's story, Detroit, where he'd violated his church's most sacred teaching and committed suicide to keep from falling into the hands of the vampires. Callahan had jumped out of a skyscraper window to avoid that particular fate. He had landed first in Midworld and gone from there via the unfound door into the Kala borderlands. And what he'd been thinking, the pair had told them, was they don't get to win. They don't get to win. And he was right about that. Right, goddammit. But if Eddie died, we knew where your Din and your husband would be most likely to end up, should they be swept through a certain doorway, Sayre told her. And calling certain people, beginning with a chap named Enrico Balazar. I assure you, Susanna, that was easy. Susanna heard the sincerity in his voice. If he didn't mean what he said, then he was the world's best liar.
How could you find such a thing out? Susanna asked.
When there was no answer, she opened her mouth to ask the question again. Before she could, she was tumbled backward once more. Whatever Mia might have been once, she had grown to incredible strength inside Susanna. Is she gone? Sayre was asking.
Yes, gone, in the back.
Servile, eager to please. Then come to us, Mia. The sooner you come to us, the sooner you can look your chap in the face.
Yes,
Mia cried, delirious with joy, and Susanna caught a sudden brilliant glimpse of something. It was like peeking beneath the hem of a circus tent at some bright wonder, or a dark one. What she saw was as simple as it was terrible. Pear Callahan, buying a piece of salami from a shopkeeper, a Yankee shopkeeper, one who ran a certain general store in the town of East Stoneham, Maine, in the year of 1977. Callahan had told them all this story in the rectory, and Mia had been listening.